We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's up? It's your boy, the Fed Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and see the throw hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. Today we toast the authorities of Thailand.
Back to Thailand.
Earlier this month, authorities there, they announced that they had made the biggest ketamine bust in that country's history. Ketamine, in case you don't know, it's widely used as an anesthetic, but due to its hallucinogenic effects, it's also a party drug that gets abused, leads to all kinds of medical issues, and of course, fatalities. Well, Thai officials were quite proud to announce that they had seized 11.5 tons worth almost $1 billion. Basically, they got a tip from Taiwan about a specific warehouse. They raided the warehouse and found the powdery white substance. Now, they were quite proud of the bust, but they were equally embarrassed when they had to call a second press conference to reveal that they had not, in fact, seized 11.5 tons of ketamine. No, they seized 11.5 tons of trisodium phosphate, a perfectly legal product found in OxyClean, Simple Green, lunch meat, pizza dough, cake mixes, cheese sauces, and other ordinary products.
Damn.
There's nothing illegal or potentially dangerous about it, but they call this big, massive press conference. Very proud of themselves. No, basically, they just raided a food distributor.
Jesus.
Oops. But they do admit, quote, perhaps we called our press conference prematurely. Well, yes. I would say that maybe you did.
But here's to you.
We got him. No more ketamine on the street. Meanwhile, the ketamine warehouse probably called in a fake tip. Like, yeah, you want to go to that warehouse.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say it was like the guy owned horses. That's why he had it.
Nope, but wasn't in ketamine. Yeah. And he didn't test it until later. And they're like, hey, dude, this is the crap they put in lunch meat. Oh,
they should go old school.
What's that?
It should just be a guy on the force. It's like, all right, get Billy in here. Billy, is this actually ketamine? And then you watch him for a couple hours. You don't know where Billy goes.
They call him Billy Sheets.
Right.
So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bichola.
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
Hey, Stephen Thrill-Hill, could you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Jackie. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
All right, Wacky Jackie, you understand how this here game is played?
I sure do. How do you know my nickname, though?
It's just a weird sense I get.
Well, I mean, it
rhymes and you sound crazy. I mean, let's just sum it up.
So maybe you didn't want to go past third base. I don't know how you got that.
It's just the thought of you.
Yeah.
All right, so Jackie, you know that you have one of three categories to choose from. We have the wonderful world of drugs. We have bite me. In other words, what did someone find in their food? And finally, interior decorating, where you guess the foreign object that ended up on the inside of someone.
You know, last time I heard somebody pick this category, you played an amazing song in the background. So I'm going to go with interior decorating.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody had this over the Thanksgiving break.
That's right.
Yeah.
Old Meemaw shows up, you throw the song on, and Meemaw throws down. All right, here is your story. A man showing signs of a heart attack after swallowing something. Now, the patient was a 26-year-old inmate at an Italian prison. He was taken to the emergency room for stomach pain about 2 hours after deliberately swallowing this object. So this did not end up in his butt, as the song would have you believe, but instead in his gut. But an x-ray revealed the object where it appeared to be stuck in the man's stomach. The doctors also performed a test called the electrocardiogram, or EKG, which measures the heart's electrical activity. Now, oddly, the EKG pattern was similar to one that's commonly seen when someone is, in fact, having a heart attack. However, the man had no other heart attack symptoms, no chest pain, and no other test results showed any sign of heart issues. Instead, according to the people that wrote the report from two different hospitals, they wrote that the object was the source of the EKG pattern, which almost nearly mimicked what would be seen if he was having a heart attack. Now, the object appeared to be distorting the EKG reading, resulting in what they called pseudo-infraction pattern. In other words, we were fooled into believing he's having a heart attack, but he was not having a heart attack. Now, the question is, what did this inmate at the Italian prison swallow on purpose and end up fooling the doctors into believing he was having a heart attack? Was it a cell phone, a watch, a battery, or a magnet? So cell phone, watch, battery, or magnet. He intentionally swallowed one of these and ended up getting the doctors to believe that he was, in fact, having a heart attack. I'm sorry that this was not a rectum story, being that you prefer this song, but I believe this is from the great Eddie Murphy back in the day.
Yes, sir. From 1982, Boogie in Your Butt.
Yeah, Delirious.
1982. You nailed it, Jackie.
I think that was on the Delirious album, Jackie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
My first instinct before you even said any of the answers was battery. So
I was thinking battery and magnet based on the EKG aspect of it.
Right, right. And
but then a cell phone?
EKG, like, measures electrical pulses in the heart.
But so a cell phone and, also could still have a signal.
Yeah.
So there's a chance, you know what I mean, like anything else, it's like, don't put it up to your head, you'll die. So it's like, maybe on the inside and it's different.
You find me, I'd be impressed with seeing them swallow a cell phone.
See, a watch to me is one of those things that's like all-encompassing. Because like typically a watch would be like water resistant.
Sure.
This, and it that, has a battery in it.
You know, and it does have a little battery in it. I think I'm going to go straight up battery there, Jackie. I think that's going to be my final answer.
I'm
going to
stick with my initial
two
and go battery.
You want battery? You're going to go battery,
Jack? Miles, you said battery or magnet?
I said battery, but I was thinking between those two.
Well, I'm torn between the two of them, but I don't want to be a follower with you guys.
By the way, Jackie, people have now added your wacky tobacco, Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Cracky Jackie.
What was cell phone? What was the fourth one? Besides battery?
Magnet.
Magnet.
Cell phone, watch, battery, or magnet?
Watch. So watch was in there, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I don't know why, but I think this man swallowed a cell phone.
Okay. Final answer, Ted?
Final answer.
Jackie, you're sticking with battery?
Yes.
We're going to find out what he swallowed. Was it a cell phone, a watch, a battery, or a magnet next?
That was a tease. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Profile that takes us to Italy, the category interior decorating. We've got
Yeah,
it wasn't there. But a man showed signs of a heart attack after he deliberately swallowed something, went to the hospital. They did an EKG and said whatever was in his stomach was making it very similar to the results of when you would read a heart attack.
Right, exactly.
So question is, what did this guy swallow? Cell phone, watch, battery, or magnet?
And that is the question that we posed to you, Jackie. Now, we'll start with you, the Ted Smith, so you already know it's bad news.
Yep,
you said
bad.
Cell phone. And Jackie, you said, man, I can't imagine someone swallowing a cell phone. Jackie, we have had multiple stories of people inserting cell phone into the rectum. Given the choice, I would rather swallow one. But Ted, sorry, that's incorrect. Now, Jackie, you immediately went battery. That was your gut instinct, you said. You stuck with it. You convinced our very own Miles Montgomery to agree with you. And look, I'll be honest with you. Obviously, you must know what you're talking about. You knew that this song came out in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, I'm like, this is freaking Einstein.
Okay. All right. You are
correct.
There we go. Nice win, Jackie. There you go.
All right, now for all TV news of all time, it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box,
I'm again.
The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Ah! All right, your choices today will be the Jimmys,
Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon,
Seth Meyers,
Seth Meyers,
or Ted Smith.
Is it Ted or is it Late Night?
That's right. All these guys have all talented teams of writers that help them come up with their monologues each and every night. It is up to you to determine, is this a late night joke and from whom, or could it be a The Ted Smith original?
Correct. A little nervous for one of these.
Do it first.
Researchers have done a study and figured out that over 30% of people will nap at some point over the course of the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, which should make Nate Robinson feel better.
I'm going to guess Lee Ted Smith.
Yeah.
That one's a little harsh. He's a local guy. I got a newer one, though.
Okay.
Little Wayne is blaming an unrelated third party for screwing up his plans to perform at the Mike Tyson fight. Reports saying the third party was cough syrup.
Lee Ted Smith. That's funny, though.
Some news about the pandemic. It looks like the CDC is changing its recommendation for quarantining from 14 to 7, between 7 and 10 days. Yep. This isn't based on science. It's just there's nothing left to binge on Netflix.
Fallon.
Myers.
Fallon.
Here's some news about the pandemic. It looks like the CDC is changing its recommendation for how long you should quarantine.
The CDC is reportedly set to shorten its quarantine recommendation. It could go from the current 14 days to between 7 and 10 days.
Yep, this isn't based on science. It's just that there's nothing left to binge on Netflix.
Almost half of Americans over 56 say they may not see their families at any point during the holidays, but only because they can't figure out Zoom.
Seth Meyers. Ted Smith.
That's Seth.
Almost half of Americans over 56 years old say they may not see their families at any point during the holiday season, but only because they can't figure out Zoom.
And older people, I say this as it happens all the time. Like, if you don't understand how Facebook works, the rest of us can see you commenting on other people's stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. Right?
I barely look at it.
That's a lie. Like, I saw you just like something, and your political views are atrocious. And anything's personal happened in my family.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. Saturday, obviously, there's a lot of sports when you go over Thanksgiving break.
Yeah.
You guys were sad, disappointed that the Ravens didn't play, but there were still two excellent NFL games. Oh, wait. No, they both sucked. Now, it's fun to see the Cowboys lose, but, like, the Lions just got smashed. The Cowboys just...
But the best thing... Look, long-term for the Lions, the best thing that happened is that they lost this game, which, to be fair, if you're familiar with the Detroit Lions, you always expect them to lose every game, certainly Thanksgiving, but they finally got rid of Matt Patricia.
Right.
Right. I mean, like, look, I know how it sounds, but the best thing that happened to the team this season is that they lost that game and finally cut that dude loose.
But, well, that's something, too. With all the Belichick guys that go and coach, like, look, Belichick, for whatever reason, he gets to be that gruff and a D about everything, and people accept it.
He's been to 9 Super Bowls and won 6 of them.
Right, but that's the thing. Like, Patricia had that same attitude, and it's like, players don't want to hear that, right? Or what's his name down in Denver when he had Tebow there?
Oh, right.
He's back with the
Kubiak?
Team.
Josh McDaniel.
But they all come in like they are just, you know, the hottest things in sliced bread. I'm just like, yeah, I ain't going
to
cut it.
You might owe your success to the head coach there.
Right.
He's a bit of a track record.
Well, I mean, look, it's just how life goes, too. Like, you could watch somebody do something, like, how should I phrase this? There is certain places or situations, right, where I might know people or have a way of talking to people. Where
sure.
Right, but, like, I have other friends, like, I can't do that.
No, don't.
Like, right.
And don't.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying, like, there's certain ways.
You're
like,
cool if you're hanging with Ted.
Right, like, I have a buddy that's great with women. But some of the stuff he says, I would never say. Mm. I'd get smacked.
Or pepper spray.
He's good looking, then.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
That's all.
Right, but obviously that's a good sports weekend. Sports were moved around because of COVID stuff, just like everything else. I saw the Huskies got a big win Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I think it was the largest, sorry, Mike. It was the largest comeback they had had in years. But obviously one of the biggest events all weekend was that Mike Tyson was going to fight Roy Jones Jr.
Yep.
Now here's the thing. If you're a boxing, almost everybody on the earth knows who Mike Tyson is.
Sure.
But if you're a boxing fan, you would know that Roy Jones Jr., for my taste, was pound for pound probably the best fighter for, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. So you're a fight guy. I mean, he
owned the 90s, yeah, for sure.
He was up there for all the time. I can't remember if he wasn't a knockout artist. He didn't seem to get the same pub.
He was a guy who took you to... His style was, I'll let you throw a bunch of punches, all right? I'll slow it down, and then later rounds, I'm going to beat the living hell out of you because I'm not tired. So he played, he got inside a lot. He did a lot of that, you know, just kind of like break it up crap. Wore the guy down on the inside. And then at the end, if he could, he would try to knock somebody out.
He didn't get a lot of first-round knockouts.
Right. I mean, look, exactly.
It's nothing about his skill. His strategy was different than Tyson. Yeah, Tyson is, I'm going to kill you because you're in the ring and I hate you. Mm-hmm. And that's what
Tyson
I was loving about.
Tyson moved forward, Jones moved back.
Right.
Right. So now we'll listen to the fight announcement. They're going to announce it was a draw. Roy Jones, I think, just has a great line here.
It's a draw. Mr. Tyson, what do you think of that?
I'm good with that.
You think you won the fight?
Yeah, but I'm good with a draw.
Why?
Because I entertained the crowd. The crowd was happy with it.
All right, we'll be back to you in a second. You happy with this draw?
Hell no, I ain't never said if I would a draw. I wear draws. I don't do draws. I like it. For me, I thought I did enough boxing on the outside to edge it out, but, you know, I'm cool with a draw. I mean, we just might have to try to do it again.
It wasn't a draw. Tyson beat his ass.
That was the other thing I read, was that everybody was like, Tyson basically won the fight. And was there talk of Tyson not hitting him in the head too many times? I didn't see the fight.
I mean, you know, look, man, they're 54 and 51. What shocked me about the fight, they moved about the way I thought they would move, right? And they both attempted to recreate what they do. Tyson, I think, was a lot closer. But again, to be fair, Tyson's a predator. This dude focuses on you. He's out to kill you. If the tiger's old, doesn't mean it ain't going to try to hunt you down. Roy, for his style, it's hard to keep up with that at that age. And he seemed winded at the end of the first round. Where Tyson, I mean, they're both kind of breathless there, but Tyson did not seem to wear himself out as much.
All right.
But his style had not changed at all. Same thing, man. Dig at the body, throw the uppercut. Roy is fast enough and smart enough to get out of the way of those uppercuts because he'd have launched him over the goddamn rope. I'm telling you,
like,
man.
Punch out.
Tyson was still terrifying to me. But what's surprising is just that Tyson's been out of the game for 15 years. Roy, it's been 2.5 years. You would think it was the other way around based on their conditioning in the ring. That actually shocked me a great deal.
So Snoop Dogg was one of the commentators.
He was great.
Right. People really liked him. And here he is kind of talking about being at a barbecue in his own neighborhood watching this. Tyson? Oh, what did I label it? Does it not say Snoop Dogg?
Oh, there it is. Tyson all over Roy Jones Jr. Snoop.
Like two of my uncles fighting at the barbecue. Get your uncle out of here. Get him out of here. You can go meet me in the backyard. I'm tired of this. Meet me back here, huh?
I got an email when I was recording that, obviously.
Yeah. Bing.
Right. But it's kind of funny. Like, a couple of my uncles. And then the main thing is, I just can't get over this. Mike Tyson can do whatever he wants, right? But he runs a marijuana thing, everything now. So basically, they ask him after the fight if he had smoked already, and he'd been smoking all day.
Have you already had a joint?
Yeah, absolutely. Coming down here. Listen, I can't stop smoking. I smoked during fights. I just have to smoke. I'm sorry. I'm a smoker.
Did you have any marijuana leading up to the training of this fight?
I smoke every day. I never stop smoking.
Did you have one right before the fight?
Absolutely, yes.
How does the marijuana effect help you into the fight?
It's just who I am. It has no effect on me from a negative standpoint. It's just what I do and who I am and how I'm going to die. There's no explanation. There's no beginning. There's no end.
Did it help numb the pain a little bit?
It just numbs me. It doesn't numb the pain.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know he's stoned, but he's still boxing.
Yes.
But he still hurts to get punched.
And Roy even said that after the fight. And he was just like, look, man, he said, every time this guy hit me, he's like, people weren't kidding. Like, when this guy hits you, and you can see it, like I said, Tyson's just different. This is a predator in the ring. And his goal is seriously to end your life within the rules that are allowed. I mean, he would tell you that. Like, oh, yeah, when I box, I'm trying to kill the man across from me. They gave me these rules. They put on these gloves, and I tried to murder him. There's no question about it. He's never made bones about that. But Roy, after the fight, was like, Yeah, dog gets pretty hard. But I respect you, man. You took it, Roy's just like, yeah.
And people
just leave me alone.
Right. People got to understand. There's been a lot of people who have been under the influence doing sports and athletics for a number of years.
Of course.
Sure. I mean, even Marshawn Lynch over the weekend said, yeah, man, I did a shot or two of Hennessy before every game.
Free game.
Yeah. I brought in a backpack.
You know, they called it the bar in his backpack.
Doc Ellis threw a no-hitter on LSD. You know, I mean, you have the trailblazers of the 80s and 90s. They weren't trailing. They were just the Blazers. Rod Strickland would smoke out any arena in any city in the United States and didn't give a flying F about it.
I still think the NBA probably has the most, just because those guys, they don't even hide. They're just like, yeah, we smoke weed all the time.
I remember they had the CBA, like, yeah. Look. Don't test for it, because we're all going to come back positive. Yeah. You know it. We know it. We're going to stop smoking. But the one thing I'll say about Ty, you knew he was stoned. They interviewed him pre-fight.
Yeah.
It's probably 30 minutes before they finally get out there in the ring. And I'm like, homie's high.
Chris Webber didn't open his eyes to the fourth year in the NBA.
Yeah. What also makes me wonder, too, is I've heard stories about guys in the NFL and everything, and it's like it's weed. It's like somebody's got to smell it.
Sure.
I mean,
but they do more. The difference.
I think, like, yeah, they're probably booze, coke.
Yeah, Chad Johnson used to pop Viagra before every game.
No, but I'm saying I've heard specific stories about people in the NFL smoking blunts before massive games.
I've heard that too.
And it's just like, where?
It must just call. Man, you know how that works.
Yeah.
You know,
like, yeah, we didn't smell anything.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, let the coach go in and check. Nah, man, I don't smell anything.
Right. Are you a starter?
Right. You're starting. It's a big game. You smell nothing. Practice squad, like, hey, you're suspended.
Right.
I mean, it's just that easy.
We had to get rid of him. Disciplinary.
Right.
Because, I mean, like, I'm just trying to imagine, like, smoking a joint or a blunt at an NFL game. I'm like, that's aggressive. Like, I feel like somebody's going to come over and grab you pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The stadium has cameras everywhere. There's a ton of security. Like, even if you're in the bathroom, like, it seems tough. But I guess if you're wearing a uniform and you're a starter, go ahead and hit that blunt before you go out there.
How much is the contract worth? Okay, we don't smell anything.
And then the rest of the game, he only fair catched anything.
Yeah, man. I'm not running that back, homie. All these guys are running at me, man. It's just too much. It's too much. Right. That's the sign of the third
catch. I love football. I enjoy smoking weed. The idea of waiting for a punt and they are bearing down on me and I'm stoned. I think I would just run away.
You gotta call fair catch, man.
If you could.
But I don't even know if I could catch it, the way those balls moving in.
Yeah, it's like fielding fly balls. Eventually you get it, pretty quick.
But not stoned.
Right.
I didn't learn how to play athletic sports stoned.
And when you hit a fly ball, the other team isn't charging you.
That's what I'm saying. Catching that punt, I just think would be complete. Like, I'm just one of those people. I like to keep them separate. Right? You're going to go out for a jog, fine. But, like, now I got to receive a punt, and there's massive.
That's a bad idea.
Right? They're bearing down on you. Like I wouldn't even be near the 10. I just run away. Like, this guy sucks. Like, he was good.
This guy sucks.
Until he got high. TV's Patrick Duffy.
Yes.
Now, sure, some people only know him from South Park, like Miles and I, but he is a TV legend.
Oh, we grew up on him with Dallas or Dynasty or one of those. So I think Dallas.
He was on Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas.
And then, of course, he was the dad for my generation on Step by Step with Suzanne Summers, I believe.
Was it Step by Step? Wasn't there a show called Empty Net? I know he, whatever.
He was on one of those shows.
Right.
Anyhow, he's 71. Basically, somebody asked him about the Lifetime Christmas movies. He has one coming up. He says, I like this. He just says, look, when my agent or whoever it is that proffers the offer says, we have an offer from Lifetime, I just say, take it. I know what it's going to be. I don't know the plot, but I know it's going to be well-written for the audience, and it's trying to get to. It'll be respectful of the other characters. They always are. The message is always positive. It's always love wins at the end. So like, I like doing them. It's pretty simple. You know,
it doesn't offend anybody.
Right. And I like what he said. Like, for the audience, it's going for the Lifetime people.
Yes. I'm not it. But guess what? If Lifetime came to me and said, we need an a-hole, people recommended, you're like, sign me up.
Okay.
Oh, I would jump at the chance in a second to be in a Lifetime Christmas movie.
What role, generally speaking, what kind of character do you think they would cast you as?
Well, I know how I am.
I know how you are.
But
based on
my
appearance,
looks,
right, who are you playing? You're the
grumpy Christmas guy in the bar.
I'm thinking the blue-collar worker that,
ooh,
like, little Timmy sees every day. Like, you're nice to Timmy, but you're just gruff.
Yeah.
Timmy's the one who has convinced Judith Light or whoever is playing the mom and his grandpa, Patrick Duffy, that you're actually okay at heart.
Oh, man, Ted's over there selling the Christmas trees.
It could be Christmas tree salesman. That's right.
Yeah, it's
gotta
be, it could be.
I think you're an angry butcher.
Ooh.
Either way. In the deli section. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
All I have is reindeer, kid.
You don't want that. You want peppered turkey thinly sliced for the 9th time. I've told you this.
Listen, you could walk this lot 10 more times. You ain't finding a spruce.
My wife almost texted you because she had to get a real tree. She said, I'm going to ask Mr. Christmas himself where to get a tree. I was like, who the F is Mr. Christmas? She goes, Ted. I said, I don't know that he's locked down all of the proper locations to go. I just know he's very specific about the type of tree he gets.
I could send a text to an old friend, figure out the lot we went to. It's not that far
okay.
from me. No, just make sure it's Noble or Frazier. Monday Night Football tonight. Go Hawks!
Thank you, Ted. We appreciate it. You are listening to The Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. A monolith that was found in a Utah desert disappears. 2 days later, a similar one appears in a Romanian town. It would have been a great day duck hunting without those 13-foot alligators hanging around. Hawaiian man bummed after someone stole his prize ukulele on Thanksgiving Day. A daughter says she's very proud of her mom for having sex for pay. In an Austrian village, they changed their name after hundreds of years and jokes. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the headlines. Here's my car.
Top story, we go to the UK, where a woman selling the gaming console sold a little bit more than advertised. While out cleaning her son's old room, she found a boxed-up Sega console. Wanting to raise a little extra money, the woman put the console up on Facebook Marketplace and sold it fairly quickly. But the confusion came a short time later when the buyer shot her a message saying that his friend enjoyed the game but commented that there was a quote-unquote jumping rabbit in a sock inside of the box. Confused about the situation, the woman asked for clarification, which was sent in the form of a photo. And that's when she realized that she had accidentally stored one of her sex toys instead of the inside of the sock and sold the console.
Yeah. She put her sex toy in the sock. And then put it. So it wasn't her kids.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I just...
Thing is that she knows this buyer on a name basis, so, like, she was able to talk it out a little bit and get the thing back.
Okay. Ooh, I've been looking for that.
Right. I also don't know why you would store that thing in the doggone console box.
I mean, like, I wouldn't...
Have you heard of a drawer?
I wouldn't, like, put a fleshlight in my kid's old Pokemon Go box or something.
Right.
Knowing that if they come home, I don't know, from college or whatever.
Where do I hide my drugs?
Right.
Exactly. Good work. Another news, speaking of making a little extra coin, a British Airways flight attendant is going the extra mile. We talked about this a little bit earlier today. Bringing a risque flair to the job, the flight attendant has been making extra money selling photos and clothing items while on the job. She's also gone so far as to meet clients in the cities that she stays while between flights, and even some that are right there on the plane.
Hmm.
There's mixed reviews upon hearing about her conduct, and British Airways says that it's conducting an investigation.
Oh, she put up a social media site. It can't be that damn hard.
Right.
Or she's on a social media site. Either way,
they're trying to track down who it is, basically.
Why? Because she upped ticket sales?
Maybe. And that's... Honestly, when I read the article, it didn't sound like they were trying too hard. They're like, yep, she's clearly in a flight attendant.
Someone brought it to our attention.
Yep, I mean, it's on our planes.
Coffee extra sugar?
Yes, right here.
Can I provide the cream?
Mm-hmm. You're disgusting. I'm not her, sir.
Oh,
oh,
my bad,
no.
My bad,
oh,
my sorry. My bad.
That's not if you're doing password? It on the plane, obviously they would have a massive issue.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
I just, honestly, I read that article this morning, and I'm just like, how do they find out? And, like, how does she tip them? I'm with Miles. Like,
that's what I was wondering.
Is it about what you order?
Right, do you just follow her on Instagram? Like, hey, I'm going to be on your flight here.
What if I don't realize that I ordered whatever her special code is? I'd like a double jack on the rocks. Next thing you know, like, I'll follow you into the back.
Sure.
What are we? Oh, my God. This flight was awesome.
No wonder it was $60.
$66. $33 just get you a pair of her pants.
Just wanted a double jack on the rocks. $66. Okay.
Yeah, right. Cocktail, leverage, soda, panties.
Booty.
Like, what did she sell? Honey, did she say panties?
did you hear that? A bodybuilder from Kazakhstan has revealed to Instagram World, you ready for this, that he has finally married the love of his life.
No, it's amazing nipples. That's the story. This guy's got unusually large nipples.
It does. The story goes that he met her at a nightclub and the two dated for a lengthy 18 months before he finally proposed. Then due to circumstances, their wedding date got pushed for roughly a year before he was finally able to say his vows. And why is this making news? Because his blushing bride is a sex doll that he owns. The Instagram post comes with a video summation of the wedding itself, which is Interesting.
I don't know why I hate this guy so much.
I know. Maybe it's because he's a bodybuilder. Like, no. He's in great shape.
I would bet that the women in Kazakhstan and the guys there are attractive.
Right.
Sound like
he's not a bad-looking guy at all.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're in any country, there's attractive people. Even one of the more recent ones I visited where they're not plentiful, but they're there.
I mean, yeah, I mean, like...
But, like, come on, dude. It's a say. What do you mean you proposed to
They're not eating, like, fried chicken and getting pizza delivery every night.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they have a different diet, different lifestyle.
Sure.
You know. No, they take baths together, Miles. I saw the photo. They're taking baths together.
Well, they might not be as big as us, so that doesn't make people attractive.
Yeah. I'm not saying no matter where you go, it's attractive people, but
I've
either
seen some of the pictures of Kazakhstan. I'm like, they have a very attractive people there.
A board didn't do them much good.
No, it didn't help.
Right. We head to Hawaii for a very fitting crime. On Thanksgiving Day, a man was enjoying his family at home, making dinner, preparing for the holiday. As usual, the man kept his front door open to get a nice breeze roll through his studio and keep the air moving. What he wasn't ready for was the burglar that ran right into his home, stole his prized ukulele, and bolted on the moped.
He knew exactly what he wanted.
He did.
That's the only reason the guy stole it is probably because the other guy played it.
Right.
If you've ever had to endure a ukulele, like, all I can think is, I'm going to take that thing and put it in my fireplace.
Yeah.
And the sound is irritating. Every song you sing where the ukulele is a primary instrument sucks. So I get to feel like the guy was playing it. It's probably his neighbor said, I'm going in that house. I'm taking that goddamn ukulele.
I'm throwing it
in the ocean.
I just like that he opened the door and you just ran in.
Exactly. The man did eventually get his instrument back after taking the bike ride that led to, the thief. That's it for your headlines. With that, Mike Hawk is out.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. 4:30 tomorrow. Jerry Cantrell is on the program. We'll be talking about Alice in Chains getting into the Mopop tomorrow evening. Sean Kinney joining us as well.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
In the meantime, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The men's room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.